Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The first of what could be many named storms of the Atlantic hurricane season bearing down on East Texas along the Gulf Coast. Tropical storm Alberto has forced folks like Rudy Torres and Corpus Christi to hunker down.
Stocked up on water, everything, and did all that. You know, we pretty much did everything we were able to do to take precaution. Bought extra batteries, lights, bought a couple of generators.
In New Mexico, fires have killed at least two people, and in the East, the heat continues to bear down. Russian President Vladimir Putin moving from North Korea to Vietnam. Before leaving Pyongyang, though, he signed a mutual aid pact with Kim Jong-un, former State Department official and now ABC News contributor Steve Ganyard.
There's really not much we can do about it. Here, these are two pariahs. We really have no diplomatic means of influencing either country.
The state of Louisiana passing a bill requiring every public school classroom to display a copy of the Ten Commandments, the ACLU planning a lawsuit. This is ABC News. Manhunt in Arkansas for a suspected killer. Police say 50-year-old Stacy Lee Drake was spotted there. There's a warrant out for his arrest on homicide charges in Alabama. And Hunter McKee with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation says Drake's suspected of three murders in his state as well.
As soon as we were able to identify Mr. Drake, we let Arkansas authorities know, and we've been working constantly with them all night, all morning, and we will continue to until he's found.
Investigators say Drake was also buying camping gear. Police in Philadelphia looking for a suspect of their own after somebody opened fire last night on a crowd. Chief Inspector Scott Small.
We believe that they shot into this crowd intentionally, and someone in the crowd may have been the intended target.
A 16-year-old girl among the seven people who were hit. A cyber attack is targeting car dealers across the country, thousands using the same software provider unable to get to systems that manage their sales. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy. Today's Work Money word is diversification. That's a word that gets bandied about quite a bit when people talk about investments. And as snooty as it sounds, a simple way to think about diversification is not having all of your eggs in one basket. Diversification reduces the risk of everything going badly. For example, if one person has all their money invested in the stock of one company, and another has her money invested in an index fund that's invested in dozens or hundreds of companies, well, one of those two people is at serious risk of being wiped out by a single event. And the other has an investment that historically does better than single stock investments, and is more protected from the ups and downs of the market. It's the smartest and safest way for almost all of us to invest our money. For more tips on money, head to workmoney.org. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. DNA testing confirms an arm found on an Illinois beach belonged to Shardae Robinson. Maxwell Anderson is accused of killing and dismembering the 19-year-old Milwaukee Area Technical College student in April. Other remains were found at different places around southeast Wisconsin. A big explosion Wednesday morning rocked downtown Madison and Civic Media's John and Gordy Show. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
John and Gordy were about to wrap up their show when
they do crank out the oil.
Good Lord.
Well, what was that?
It shook nearby buildings, including Short Stack Eatery. Co-owner Sinead McHugh talked to our Gordy Young.
I totally thought it was thunder.
Two construction workers were hurt, but they're expected to be okay. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The Brewers win another series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Angels 2-0 in a pitcher's duel between Freddy Peralta and the Angels' 34-year-old lefty Tyler Anderson. Top of the eighth, Willie Adames up to bat on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Angels have been working around Adames in this game to face Hoskins. Base open at first, and now Adames, a broken bat, little flare left field. That's going to bounce fair. Yelich will score, and Willie Adames Gonzalez picks up a big stake. It's a broken bat RBI single, makes it 2-0 Brewers in the eighth.
Tonight, the Crew are in San Diego to open a long four-game series against the Padres. NFL, former tackle David Bakhtiari on ESPN asked, what does he think of the Packers' new quarterback, Jordan Love?
Jordan, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think the guy's a stud. Quiet, yet confident and soft-spoken, yet caring. I got a chance to get, you know, somewhat close to him. You just root for guys like him.
That's David Bakhtiari. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, a scattered storm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 66. Showers and storms on Friday, some heavy rainfall is possible, a high near 82. For Friday night, showers and storms, 71.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers from the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. I'm also joined by Mary Rose Eckberg from Make Music Madison.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. Live from Chippewa Falls, I'm Pat Breitlow on this final day of spring, first kind of sort of day of summer. It's June 20th, 2024. Coming up this hour, we will have our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good, and we will catch up with candidate Lou Ann Bird, who will tell us about her race and what has propelled her from neighborhood activist, and even what got her to become a neighborhood activist and lead her to become a candidate for office. If you missed us last hour when Luke reviewed the Top Chef finale, well, we'll do a shorter version of that a little later on this hour, but if you missed any hour of the show, you can always head over to civicmedia.us. In doing so, you can not only find the stations around Wisconsin for Civic Media, but all the shows that air and some of the episodes that have just aired. Each hour is basically turned into a podcast that you can listen to, so head over to the Civic Media website there. From Rob over in Tigerton, who says, good morning from Tigerton. It is a cloudy and 61. We had a scary situation in western Shawnee County this morning that shut down 29 between 45 south to J. I want to thank the Shawnee County Sheriff's Department, Tigerton, Bowler, and Wittenberg Fire Departments, and Tigerton and Wittenberg EMS for all they do to get the situation settled and to get Highway 29 back open at 5 a.m. this morning. At which point, he also notes, we had an awesome pink sunset last night, had the sky pink all over, and I can tell you the sunrise over Lake Wissota this morning was pretty lovely as well. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us as well to tell us, if I read correctly, summer arrives around 3:50 this afternoon. Is that right?
You're right. Right on the dot. Right to the minute.
All right. Well, reading comprehension. That works for me. And Do you do anything special? This isn't one of those where you like try to stand an egg upright or have any other silly traditions that you do? Oh, I mean, you were gone the past couple of days. I thought maybe you went to Stonehenge, you know, to get ready for greeting the season, whatever meteorologists do this time of year.
The celebrations, right? Yeah, actually, right. I'm wearing this really weird shirt too. It's got the sun and the moon and the astronomical thing going on here to celebrate. So that's all I'm going to do. It's just a shirt. Nice, I have no rituals.
nice that you're in costume for the occasion. That's great. There are still weather advisories as well for flooding because so much rain has fallen. A lot of rivers continue to be swollen. The Chippewa River here certainly being one of them. So folks need to take care there. Even though it's not raining now, the impact's going to be with us for at least a few days here. Brittany, tell us more as what we can expect for the rest of the week here.
Yeah, absolutely. So today we're still looking at still some light rain chances pushing in, mainly this afternoon and into the evening. Not too much of a concern today, but it does take a minute for those rivers to keep swelling. So keep an eye on that. But as soon as tomorrow and into Saturday, we are looking at heavy rainfall. Again, the Storm Prediction Center has put us in an excessive warning there from Friday to Saturday, where we could see another 1 to 2 inches of rainfall each day, totaling around 3 inches into some places in central Wisconsin. So we are not out of this crazy wet weather just yet. That heat and humidity is going to be building as soon as tomorrow and into Saturday as well. So it's going to have a lot of that to support all the moisture. And we're looking at severe thunderstorm chances returning by Saturday afternoon and into the evening. So today, still cool out there, highs in the low 70s far north, mid to upper 70s further south, cloudy, some light rain, and then we wait for tomorrow. So get ready for any of that flooding or anything you could do to help your basement or away from those rivers. Keep your property out of there.
Oh, gosh, yes. Where did I see it in? Was it in Duluth? Yeah, because of all the hills there and some of the flash flooding. I mean, it was like a waterfall was coming out from underneath one of the houses, you know, because they're built on, you know, how steep those hills are in Duluth.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently the way it all gathered, a whole bunch of it must have run through somebody's backyard and then like right out their basement and then coming out the front door. It just looked terrible.
That is terrifying. It is terrifying. I've seen sinkholes too on those big streets in the Duluth area. Also keep in mind culverts washing out in northern Wisconsin in the next 2 days. Ugh.
Okay. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Luke Mathers is here as well for us today. We were talking about his Eagle Scout, in case you're looking at social media going, why does it say my name is on a board? Well, it's because of
it's because at one point in time, my name was on a board for how quickly I could start a fire and then burn that twine that was 4 feet above the fire.
I put that up there to praise you so I could tell you this story about what a goofball we got over here at this end of the microphone. I finally had... I had the incident that I had long dreaded with the setup that I have here in my home office.
Okay.
It's a lovely desk, lovely computer, lovely setup. But because of the way where the outlets are and, you know, being right-handed and everything, I've got my headphones over here on the right. But I also have a little hot plate that keeps my coffee cup.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
Okay.
But it finally happened yesterday where my headphone cord was just long enough that as I went by, and of course I was in a pair of flip-flops, and it caught the cord, and goodness there wasn't a coffee cup on there. That would have been the ultimate, but the hot plate went flying, the headphones went flying. They were already a little bit broken. Now they're a lot of bit broken here. But I thought, I have to rethink this setup before the next time there's a coffee cup on there.
Yeah, at least no Roy Kent coffee cups were harmed in the incident.
No, or the one I normally use, which has the grandkids on it, you know. So it could have been a bad setup. But Luke's setup is over in the brand new Studio A2, which, by the way, an hour ago we said we don't know if the phones are properly working or not. So
we're testing them out.
Testing them out. Feel free to call at 855-75-CIVIC. And Luke went so far as to offer up Brewers tickets for their next homestand if somebody wanted to call in and be the guinea pig. Nobody wants to be the guinea pig because I think they think we're punking them or something, like we're going to make them go, hello.
No, hello, I think hello. Most callers at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., Pat, are like us. You know, you're still getting into the swing of the morning. And so we bring the chipper attitude so they don't have to have it. They can just tune in and get perked up with our awesome commentary and their cup of coffee. But, you know, whatever does it for you.
And if somebody does call 855-75-CIVIC, and if they do get through, if they're the first person to successfully guinea pig.
If I can hear you and you can hear me, I'll send you to the Brewers game next week.
Yeah, Brewers tickets. There you go. It does not get much easier than that. 855-75-CIVIC. Looking at some of the stories that are in the news includes the new law in Louisiana that requires all public school classrooms to display the Ten Commandments. And you may think that that is an odd direction to go in, given that we thought these matters of keeping church and state separate had been solved some time ago. After all, it was this week in 1963 that in an 8-1 decision, The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Abington School District v. Shemp against requiring the reciting of Bible verses or the Lord's Prayer in public schools. And people have always said, oh, ever since then, prayer's been banned in public schools. Now, prayer's not banned. You can, if you're in school, you can pray. You can pray all you want. It's requiring other people to pray, which is where, again, people's definitions of religion and is different than evangelizing, which is different from mandating that you shall pray this way. Or you shall learn these religious texts in this school. We don't have madrasas in this country. And if we did, people would be up in arms, and I think quite literally. And yet there are people trying to do that here in this country, hoping that, with this newly constituted Supreme Court made up of six right-wing politicians instead of jurists, that maybe we'll start tearing down part of that wall between church and state and let people mandate a certain religious worldview in our schools. Because after all, they've already shown that they're willing to tear down the protections in Roe v. Wade that had lasted for 50 years. And by the way, Monday is the second anniversary of the Dobbs decision that did that. Todd Alba will be filling in for me next Monday. Kristen Lyerly, an obstetrician gynecologist and candidate for Congress, will join Todd as well to talk about the impact after 2 years of the Dobbs decision. So what will this U.S. Supreme Court do now that Louisiana has become the first state to once again require that the Ten Commandments be displayed in every public school classroom? It's the latest move from a Republican supermajority in the Louisiana legislature and a new conservative governor. That governor, Jeff Landry, signed that law yesterday, requiring a poster-sized display of the Ten Commandments in, quote, large, easily readable font in all public classrooms from kindergarten to state-funded universities. Said the governor, if you want to respect the rule of law, you've got to start from the original lawgiver, which was Moses, according to the governor of Louisiana. Opponents, of course, question the law's constitutionality and vow to challenge it in courts. Proponents say the measure is not solely religious, it has historical significance. In the language of the law, the Ten Commandments are, quote, foundational documents of our state and national government. And in fact, there is a part of the law that was newly signed in Louisiana that authorizes, but does not require, the display of certain other historical items like the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, which established government in the present-day Midwest. In all cases, no state funds will be used to implement the mandate. The posters would be paid through for donations, which to me sounds rather problematic right there. You're requiring something, but to get around a church-state separation, you're saying, we require you to do this, but only with donated money. I would remind folks that Louisiana does not rank very well in so many aspects, whether it's education. The state ranks 46th in healthcare, 47th in education. Its economy is ranked 49th in the state. It ranks 50th in its crime rate. Say what you will about big cities. When you look at the crime rate, your likelihood of being affected by crime, Louisiana is one of the worst states, along with others in the South. It seems to me that in that so-called Bible Belt, they should be turning their attention and indeed their prayers toward activities that can actually educate their kids and make them safer in a more demonstrable way, and leave the prayer for those who want to engage in it voluntarily. Back with more after this. Wherever you're listening, around Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitler.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Brian Wilson turns 82 years old today. You can catch all of the celebrity birthdays during our daily history lesson every morning at 6:50. The Milwaukee Brewers continue their West Coast road trip. They took 2 out of 3 in Anaheim, beating the Angels last night 2-0 in a pitcher's duel that saw Freddy Peralta go 6 innings. He struck out 8 while giving up just 3 hits. They head right down to San Diego to continue the road trip tonight. Bryce Wilson will take the mound for the Brewers. It's a 4-game series. 8:40 once again is game time tonight, so you can catch the pregame starting at 8 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. Meanwhile, Mr. Mathers, from the text line, we get this from one of our favorite texters, Lynn in Oconomowoc, who says, I'd call, but I will be on the road. I wish I could recommend Ember, a Bluetooth coffee mug that keeps your coffee hot. However, mine has been sitting in a box for 2 years. The app never worked for me. So maybe that's what I need.
Maybe that's your alternative, so you don't have a hot plate flying around.
Well, I didn't actually buy this as a hot plate for a coffee cup. It was a gift many years ago now from somebody that gave us as a gift a French press, which I know French press isn't French. Technically, it's English, but I think it might be French for would you like to drink some coffee grounds? Because you do...
Stop it.
You press the thing down.
Do you not have a proper filter in your French press?
It appeared to be a proper filter, but I don't know. I don't think a steel plate could keep some of the coffee grounds out of that compared to, you know, your standard drip filter. I don't know. Is it me?
I think it's user error on this one, Pat. I think
operator error.
Yeah, it's a technical thing on your part, not the French press, but you're just using it wrong.
We'll just have to agree to disagree.
I can tell you, my dad like lives and dies with his French press. He moved away from the drip coffee many years ago now, and he loves the French press, and it's the way that he's got two different ones. He's got a smaller one for when he's just having, because my mom doesn't like coffee. He just drinks the smaller one himself. But then when any of my siblings go over to my folks' house, he's got a larger French press for when people are over.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's not like the old percolators, you know, with the little bubble.
We have
the top.
Those for camping. Those are good ones to put over the fireplace.
I'm sure you do. Somebody has to still be using those. Lynn in Oconomowoc did try to call us. I can see that here on my computer screen. And then it says, tell
I'm testing.
One ring and silence, but my phone says we're still connected. So maybe she's calling. Maybe she's not. Either way, I think she's just making a ploy for Brewers tickets here. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Well, see if you actually get connected. Said she was going to be in Sister Bay next week, so she can't even use the Brewers tickets. Lynn's just trying out of the kindness of her heart. I'm going to try something real quick and see if we can patch Lynn in to the speaker here. Lynn, can you hear me? Lynn, can you hear me?
feel like we're
all right. No, this didn't
work. Testing.
We're trying to reach
John Glenn somewhere between here and the moon.
We are simply testing out the new studio, and so I don't think that the callers can hear us yet, Pat. But I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
Hey. Baby steps. Baby step was, could we get baby a show steps. On the air?
Yeah, we got the show on the air. I can read the text, so if you want to text in your comments, you can send us your text still. I just don't have it correct yet for callers to be able to hear us.
When you think about it, though, radio is always going to be a part of our lives. Thank goodness. We need local radio. I'm glad we have Civic Media doing this thing. But, you know, look at how the technology has changed in radio studios. Over the years, everything's so computerized now. I mean, we used to have these patch cords, you know, like the old telephone operator boards and things like that. And it just makes you wonder what it's going to be like, you know, in the not too distant future when if you're doing a live video feed like this, maybe people will be appearing by hologram or something, you know, or just FaceTiming in, you know, instead. But to do all that, we got to get Studio A2 up and running the way that it should be. So we're going to continue to work on that. Back to some of the headlines here. The Republican National Committee is launching a new, what they call a swing state initiative to mobilize thousands of polling place monitors, poll workers, and attorneys to serve as, quote, election integrity watchdogs in November. That's one way to write the story. Here's the other way. The Republican National Committee has announced a new initiative in battleground states that will bring thousands of people to polling places to harass election workers and undermine public confidence in the vote. The RNC says its plan will help voters have faith in the electoral process and ensure that their votes matter. From the same people who have been undermining election integrity, saying things like, the public is losing faith in our elections because they are telling people to lose faith in the elections. Keep in mind that despite being 3.5 years removed from the 2020 election, former President Trump was continuing to spread false claims, even in Racine this week, that he performed better than what the numbers actually told you in 2020. It's what led to a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol. It is what led Ron Johnson to being this close to being a mule delivering fraudulent electoral ballots to Mike Pence on that January 6th day. Tomorrow is the 2-year anniversary of when the January 6th Special Congressional Committee first let us know about how those fraudulent ballots were found to be in Senator Ron Johnson's office. So we'll say more about that tomorrow. But the RNC has said that this new effort will focus on, quote, stopping Democratic attempts to circumvent the rules. Again, let's stop and fact check this. There are no Democratic attempts to circumvent the rules. There was a president at the time trying to circumvent the rules, coming up with a fake elector scheme, filing dozens of lawsuits. Not a single one of them found any kind of massive, wide-scale fraud. And there have been continued attempts through, for example, congressional hearings that were chaired by Ron Johnson at the time and Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, who gave a platform to every conspiracy theorist imaginable to tell you what they believe happened with absolutely no evidence of it. It comes back to this basic point. When you can't win on your ideas, you cheat. We see the public opinion polls. We know where the public stands on giving women, you know, the right to make their own decisions about their bodies, where they stand on workers' rights, where they stand on, you know, not marring the environment, where they stand on tax fairness, where they stand on lowering prescription drug prices. And yet one party has decided rather than to embrace those things, they will undermine confidence in elections and just flat out cheat when they have to. And if that includes harassing voters this November, they're showing us through this new initiative, well, that's something they're willing to do. All right, it's time for Women in Wisconsin, brought to you by our friends at Motherhood for Good. We talk to Luann Bird next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin's new testing requirements for any dairy cow that's going to a county fair come into play today. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Today is the beginning of the Elroy Fair in Elroy, the first fair that will have to implement those testing requirements. Their president says they're ready. Details on the way.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Marie Price is the president of the Elroy Fair Board, and she said as far as these testing requirements are concerned for lactating dairy cows, it's really nothing new for her.
The Wisconsin dairy industry is very resilient, and many years ago, I'm kind of dating myself here, I've been involved in the fair industry for over 40 years, and it was common. We had to, the week before the fair, get a brucellosis blood test, and since we've eradicated that disease from the state of Wisconsin, we've went away from that testing requirement. We no longer have to do that. But I think this is just a bump in the road that we're going to see until we get all the protocols in place and everything organized. But I really do not see this have a long-term impact.
Marie Price, president of the Elroy Fair Board, their fair is starting today. She said the number one item they want to focus on, making sure that fairgoers know everything connected to the dairy industry, meat as well as dairy products, are still safe. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection yesterday announced that to date, the National Veterinary Services Laboratory has confirmed the presence of high-path avian influenza in more than 100 dairy herds in 12 states, including Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, but not Wisconsin.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And popular farm store Blaine's Farm and Fleet has announced they're promoting Mark Hastings to Chief Executive Officer and President, and also Kim Treese to Chief Stores Officer. Jane Blaine Gilbertson will continue as Executive Chair of the Board and remain the sole owner of Blaine's Farm and Fleet and Blaine Supply Incorporated. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, scattered showers and thunderstorms, highs in the mid-70s. For tonight, a scattered storm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 66. Showers and storms on Friday, some heavy rainfall is possible, a high near 82. For Friday night, showers and storms, 71.
Right now, it's 61 degrees.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kiwani.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Small business owners, we know finishing your to-do list can feel like climbing a mountain, but that mountain is also covered in banana peels. Then, when something new gets added to your list, you're like, nope, I'm already climbing this huge, super slippery banana peel mountain of a to-do list. At Progressive, we don't want to make your day any harder. That's why we make it easy to manage your policy on our mobile app. So climbing that banana peel mountain feels more like a leisurely stroll. See if you can save on commercial auto insurance in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we come back from Juneteenth to Baraboo and back in the studio to discuss news, headlines, and so much more. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
We're going to get to our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, in just a sec. First, a reminder that you can get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you on there as a subscriber, and I'm just calling up some of what Christina Laurie's been putting together for us today. Let's see. At last count, she writes, the U.S. had 16,658 ice cream shops. I feel like I've been to a few of them. And gets to what national ice cream chain is most popular in your part of the state? Obviously, a lot of people here are going to say either Culver's or Dairy Queen, but there are plenty of others out there as well. And you can learn about them in the newsletter. Also, there is my column on there about the stances on President Biden versus former President Trump when it comes to taxes, specifically how Donald Trump wants to continue the damage that he did in 2017 with his tax bill compared to what President Biden wants to do if he wins the second term. So for all that and more, head to our daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, Kate Duffy, Nicole Slavin from Motherhood for Good join us, along with candidate Luann Bird, who we got to know when she was first running for a legislative seat in 2022, and it is so great to have her, you know, in the game and raising all of our spirits. Just the nicest person who could ever be on the ballot, and that's saying something because we know some nice people. Here's Kate and Nicole to prove it. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good.
You started off the segment already being controversial, lumping custard in with ice cream.
I wasn't me. I would take that up with the newsletter.
Thank you
author.
For not letting that go unspoken. I really appreciate that because I wanted to chime in, but I didn't want to step on Pat.
I can't wait till, you know, we have our daily staff meeting. Christina Laurie's going to come on board. I'm going to say, boy, oh boy, what did you do?
How could you? Feathers.
For all we know. Oh, I see what she did there.
That's my line.
I know. Yes. All right. Let's get to Luann Bird. We'll fight about ice cream versus.
But yes. Anyways, we have Luann Bird with us today. We're very excited to talk to her. It's a treat for me, especially. Luann is running in my district, and I am excited to vote for her. Last time she was just outside of it, and with the new maps, she has some changes in her district, and she's back to run again. Luann, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, and good morning to our Civic Media listeners. I always enjoy being with you.
Well, they enjoy you too, because I'm seeing Colleen writing on Facebook. I love her door videos. She writes, good morning, ladies. Luann has some great door stories. So I guess we've definitely got topics to explore here today. What do you think? So far, so good?
Yeah, so far, so good. Thank you. Thank you for all your kind comments. And yes, Gretchen Whitmer, the Michigan governor, came to visit with us, and it was.
I know. Look at this. This is a comment on YouTube from Tony. I heard Luann was so cool. Gretchen Whitmer drove over from Michigan to hang out. That checks out. I would totally. I could see that.
I know. You know, and here's the thing to all of you: if Michigan can do it, we can do it. It's Wisconsin's turn. If Minnesota can do it, we can do it. It's time to save democracy here in Wisconsin, and I am delighted to be a part of that. So thank you for having me. I want to thank Kate Duffy for helping me with door stories. A lot of people are always asking, what is it that you do at doors to swing Trump voters? And I got to thinking that it isn't just Trump voters, but I think I can build relationships and have door stories to share at every door. So that's what we're doing. And thank you, Kate, for helping get that going.
Absolutely. I think, well, we talked about that because for those of you who are listening who don't No, Luann. Luann did run for assembly last time, and she's throwing her head in the ring again. And she's a very, I wouldn't even say unique politician, because I do think a lot of politicians, especially at the local level, are just really love getting out there and talking to people and making things better for their communities, which you are the epitome of. And you are maybe one of the few people, though, that like truly loves knocking on doors and talking to people. And so we wanted to capture that because you always have such great stories. And talk a little bit about your, how you get through to those people who don't necessarily agree with you, and how you like turn down the heat on politics. I'm doing air quotes for the radio listeners, and really just get to know people and find common ground. How do you do that in these days?
I think it starts with my passion for really wanting to save democracy. Because when I got into this race 2 years ago, I knew that the political system was broken. It's too divided. It's not working for us. And I'm concerned about the number of people that feel that way too. So every door that I went to last time, I felt like, you know, I grew in my understanding of what people need and what they want and what they respond to. And I mean, they respond to that. They want to see someone bring civility back. Not only that, I have such a long history of getting things done, but I'm going to tell you the key to it is still, so you got to look at, why am I at that door? And I'm not there for me. I'm not there for a political party. I am there for the people, and I want to be beholden to the people. I think they know that, because the first thing after I introduce myself, I say, I got time, you know, it's not till November. So tell me, what's your top issue? What's important to you? It's what's important to you. And then I listen. And that's how you turn down the heat. Like there was a gentleman I talked to that had to go eat supper. And, you know, he was a Republican. I'm a Republican. I got to go. I got to eat supper. It was very nice. And then 5 minutes later. So, you know, that's how it happens, because I said I was just here to listen to what's important. And then he wanted to talk about it. So that's how I tone it down. And it really, I'm impressed at how many people open up and share their stories with me once they realize that that's the case.
I agree. I think too, particularly we're so social media focused and everybody's like in their phone all day, and you're going to and from work or you're working from home. We don't have the public connection that we used to. And I think there's something very genuine about your approach. I mean, obviously you have a legacy behind you of years of proving that out. I'm wondering what your constituents, what you're hearing most for top issues in your district this election cycle.
I'm kind of alarmed with the voters. So many of them are bringing up women's issues at the doors. And if they don't, and I ask them about it, they are very concerned as well, because I do feel like this is the year for women, for reproductive rights. So I hear a lot about that. I hear a lot about public education right now, because in MPS is having some issues with their superintendent was forced to resign, and the school, there's a lot of upset people. Plus they raised taxes like three times in Milwaukee with the county tax, a city tax, and their property taxes went up, and then a referendum passed. So I'm hearing a lot about that in the Milwaukee area. And of course I hear a lot about reckless driving and gun violence. You know, people want to, they want us to do something about those issues. And that's the other thing, that when I start to share just a couple stories, I say, well, look, you know, when my husband was paralyzed, I got in there and I got on the school board and I made sure all the schools are accessible. And, you know, and then I talk a little bit about a sewer issue and got the sewer in the neighborhood, that I get things done. It seems to give people hope at the doors. I have a most recent story too I can share with people to give them a picture of what I'm here to do for them. So, yeah.
Do you feel, Luann, like when they bring up, city taxes and school taxes, do they make the connection that it's because of these austerity budgets and slash and burn tactics by the state legislature, which is dominated by Republicans, and basically they're passing the buck down and making school districts and cities and counties have to raise taxes because, you know, they refuse to fund their fair share? Or is that something you find yourself having to do constantly with voters, is help them make that connection?
I don't here's the connection I want them to have. I want them to know that when I get to Madison, I will dig deeper into the role that the state plays in funding public education. And I talk more about the fact that this school voucher program that was supposed to help kids hasn't worked. And now we have, it's really taken money away from public schools. So that's where I go, is talking more about what I can do to help fix it. And then I do mention, of course, it's been underfunded for years, and I'll take a look at why Milwaukee is treated different. That's what I hear at the doors. So rather than go off on how bad the state is, I just talk about what I'm going to do to fix it, because obviously there's underfunding going on here. There's politics happening at the state level, and I don't think it should be a political football. I think we really need to look at our kids, what our kids need, and make sure there's a great teacher in every classroom. I mean, there are solutions to this. So no, I guess to answer your question, Pat, no, I don't have to go in there and tell them how a certain party has been slashing and cutting, and that they don't give, I do mention they don't give a cost of living raise per pupil. I mean, when someone goes deep on that subject, of course I talk about those things. But for the most part, it's like, we just have to fix it. And here's what I'm doing to fix it. On Wednesday next week, I'm having a conversation and a fundraiser with Henry Leonard at Buena Vista at 6:00. It's in the Milwaukee area. And we're going to talk about education. We're going to get the truth out, because my opponent is putting out proposals to break the whole system up. And he's accusing MPS of having tens of thousands of kids on the streets, truant every day. And that's just not true. So what I'll do for the voters and what I'll do for all of you is make sure that we're honest, that we are looking at what is really going on there, and we're not playing talking points with our kids. And the talk about closing kids' schools, that's just traumatizing those families that are already upset about what's going on there. So I'm looking forward. So that's what I do. I get in there, I pull people together, and I can't wait till Wednesday. You're all invited to come if you would like. You can find more information on my socials and on my website.
Yeah, I will be there, and we'll make sure to post things about it too. And I think just even this short, time of, if anybody listening was not familiar with Luann, I hope you get a sense for just like how she could give a masterclass on just how to connect with anybody, how to listen. You talk about that a lot. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that politicians mm-hmm. don't talk about as much or practice as much. And I think that's kind of your secret weapon in getting in with people is, oh my gosh, you ask a question and then you listen. And that's where you start to find common ground. And we talk about all the time, there's so much happening at the national level that people are understandably kind of checking out for, but
I do hear a lot about that.
Yeah, you do.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. There's people that are very upset with the whole presidency thing. So I prepared myself for that by getting to spend an hour with Joe Biden one day in this little event we had, so that when people raise the question, do I think he's fit? I can say, absolutely. Not only that, he made me proud to be an American. So yes, bringing it up, going back to what you said, listening to people's stories, an example of that would be a woman or a little kid was telling me how much he really liked Trump, and because Biden's letting all these immigrants into the country, and then people here don't have housing. And so here was his value. I listened to his value. I said, so you care about housing. And that's what you listen for when you're listening. What is it that they value, rather than what party do they care about? Mm-hmm. And that's what works. And yes, Colleen, I would do training. You just contact me. You can come with me on doors. Anyway, I invite anyone to come with me, because it is really a delight.
Luann's answering a question from Facebook that was up on screen, asking, if she would do door knocking training. And I was going to say, well, Colleen, we appreciate the question, but she's kind of busy running for office herself right now to do training. And of course, what does Luann say? No, come on down. I'll work with you.
I think I probably have to follow her around one day and take some videos and show people how it's done.
That's a great idea.
It sounds like a great Motherhood for Good opportunity to tag along with
Luann. I do want to mention one more thing I'm doing, because we have the RNC coming into town, and I just couldn't sit back. So I'm organizing an event to knock out bigotry, hate, and racism in the Knockout Rose Gardens in Greenfield. And Will Radler, my friend, is the host. He created the Knockout Roses, And so we have a big event planned on July 18th so that we can, promote Hope, Civility, and Action instead. So just want to mention that.
All right. That's enough positivity. I can only handle so much of this. It might break me. Luann, you are such a delight. Thank you so much for giving us an update on things. Keep posting those videos on social media. They uplift people more than you already know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nicole and Kate, thank you so much. I like how you gave us all an easy job this week. Oh, we got Luann. We're good. We're good. We're all set. More next week on our next Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good. We will wrap up our conversation coming up next here up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, just this little reminder, Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media or sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And if you want to listen back to the show, check out the video version on our Facebook page or subscribe to Listen on Demand wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Tomorrow, we will have a brand new conversation with Dan Schumacher and Bob Gallagher from WEAU 13 News talking about, well, basically group therapy for Cubs fans. This has not been an easy season. And I really think, Luke, they're thinking that there's, in this age of conspiracy theories, that the whole Craig Council hire is a conspiracy theory.
It's so funny because like they were so happy to steal Craig away when it came to the, like he was the top free agent manager so to say. Like there was a lot of talk about whether or not the Brewers could offer him enough money to stay, if he was going to New York, if he was going somewhere else. And then all of a sudden, the dark horse contenders, Chicago, stealing him away from division rivals and paying him a lot of money to come down to AmFam South. And they're not too happy with the decision, it seems like.
They're not at all. And we read some of Bob Gallagher's social media posts last week. And so I think you're going to enjoy the conversation between me and Dan Schumacher and Bob Gallagher tomorrow. We'll also have a new conversation with Jim Santel. And then Todd Alba will be here Monday, and then I'll be back Tuesday after a little extended weekend. I need time to reset after an entire season of Top Chef Wisconsin.
That's what it is. You just need time.
That's what it is.
You just need time.
Well, this for folks, for 14 Thursday mornings, we have been talking about the previous night's Top Chef Wisconsin. Next week, we have to find something else to talk to Luke about.
I'm actually going to have to start doing homework again about what's going on across the network and stuff to provide those kind of updates, because this has been easy.
I'm sure Charlie Behrens is sending you hate mail going, my ratings are taking such a tumble because Luke Mathers is not promoting me on Thursday mornings. But yes, we will get back to that. Yes. But one last time on Top Chef Wisconsin, especially if you missed our recap in the last hour, where Dan Jacobs from Milwaukee was one of the three finalists, along with Danny from New York and Savannah from North Carolina. And they're all good. They're all artists. They're all wonderful people. You know, there's not one of them that didn't deserve to be there. There was one of the chef contestants, Manny, who didn't deserve to be there, and yet he became Danny's partner last night in the final episode.
Yeah.
His sous chef. They got to pick from previous contestants who would be their sous chef, and Dan picked Amanda, and Savannah picked Michelle, my favorite barbecue chef from Texas. And it was a good all-around competition, but the thing that sat wrong with me was that the very final thing was a four-course dinner. They had wide latitude to choose, you know, what they were going to serve, but it should tell a story. And so they all had things that told stories about their growth or their journey or what have you. And Danny, because in part, you know, Manny is Manny, you know, screwed up a couple of things. And yet somehow, even though Dan's stuff was nearly flawless, Danny was crowned top chef, which is not to take anything away from Danny, but again, based just on what they cooked last night, I'm still having a tough time, you know, making that work in my head.
I turned to Kelsey and I was like, I think they got it wrong.
Yeah.
When it got announced that it was Danny, I was like, I think they got it wrong. So, and that's one of those things about reality TV. Maybe it was just the fact that the food was that much better from Danny. Maybe it was just the portrayal of the footage that they had that made it seem like Dan was going to be kind of the runaway with it. But from the episode that we watched, as it unfolded before our eyes, mm-hmm. I was like, I think Dan's got this. And they got to the final table and they said Danny instead of Dan.
It is a reminder of the power of editing, mm-hmm. not just what happens in a TV show, reality or otherwise, how you shoot it and then how you edit it. Look, I didn't know that we were going to take this one into a political direction, but look at all the deepfakes. Look at all the deepfakes about Joe Biden wandering off when he's not wandering off. Look at AI. We're seeing more instances of celebrity faces being put in AI-generated videos that are, let's just say, embarrassing, but they're not true. So editing is extremely important and can tell a story. So yeah, if they meant to tell a story that had us thinking Dan Jacobs was going to win, I also do wonder, hating to sound like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but did Dan always have a mark against him that if he were the winner, people would say, well, why did they even hold it? You know, Top Chef Wisconsin, of course they're going to go with the Wisconsin chef. So
rarely does that happen, though. The hometown chef rarely wins.
Like, do they always have a hometown chef?
They usually have somebody representing the city, the state that they are doing the competition in. Stephanie Azard won in Chicago in season 4. She was a Chicago chef. But that was a shocker. It was the front horse in that one, Richard Blaze, who you may know, but is a very famous celebrity chef now, but he got his start on season 4 of Top Chef. He was the runaway favorite, and Stephanie cooked a better meal in Puerto Rico that year, and she was Top Chef. And so I was surprised that Danny got it still last night, because in all accounts from the episode, it looked like Dan Jacobs had the better meal.
It without a doubt is the way that it looked. So I have to ask you this, because your passion for this has been so evident over these 14 weeks. And I know that you do like cooking shows overall. Is this your favorite one?
Top Chef is, yeah, probably by far.
How many
my
different cooking how many cooking shows do you watch?
Food Network is a very, very frequent. Food Network, Game Show Network, Live Sports. That's my YouTube TV feed, essentially. Like,
okay, we got to find a way to combine all of those.
Well, that's the thing. Game shows, cooking competitions, like Top Chef is kind of that overlap. And so, yeah, I would think of the cooking shows that I watch, Top Chef has got to be up there for the favorite.
Okay. So you'll be back for season 22, wherever it is.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know they don't repeat these things, so...
Well, that's not true. Every couple of seasons, they have Top Chef All-Stars. So that's how Richard Blaze actually ended up winning one, because season 8 was the first All-Stars season where all past contestants were able to be... some past contestants were invited back, and they've thrown in All-Stars throughout other seasons. So it would be like 12 new chefs, but like 4 All-Stars to compete against those new chefs. So there's still a chance for those
Tony's
eliminated.
Already, Tony's stirring the pot here online. Was it stolen? Will the courts look into it?
We'll see.
Trouble troublemaker over
troublemaker.
Here. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope that there's another Wisconsin themed cooking show, not necessarily Top Chef, but of some type, because that's the whole reason I tuned in. I like the Wisconsin angle. I hope they do it again sometime soon. Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Absolutely, Mr. Kratlow.
Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy your Thursday. And thanks for joining us on Upper Earth News Radio.
Eagle 1490 AM. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to a very special Devil's Advocates radio show this Thursday. We'll be both stirring the pot and cooking with gas. Friday Eve, tune in Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.